Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a special edition of Blog Talk Radio and Extra Sound Radio. We're talking today with Lynette Louise. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good, and I really appreciate you having me on, Ralph.
Okay. Now, your music is used for different ways than most people's music. Could you explain that to our listeners?
Well, you know what it is that I raised a bunch of children who were autistic. I went out and adopted a bunch of kids, and I raised eight, and I needed to pay the bills, so I was a stand-up comedian, a very bad singer. I was, you know, kind of making my way, and eventually got better and better at all the different things. Later, when I discovered how to really help my kids and started to educate and become a brain professional, I took these skills that I had, and I'd already released a CD, and I'd already been doing comedy and film and television, and so I took these skills and I wrapped them together into a one-woman show. And then I wrote a bunch of songs that sort of cross over different genres and different things to try and pull it all together. So my music that we are going to listen to, because my other CD is different, but the music we're going to listen to is really another way for me to take this information that I hold in my head and pass it to audiences and to people and to teach and to share and to try to create emotional connection with those in the world who are struggling with brain disorders.
Okay. I also know you've traveled around the world with your music and your show too, right?
Oh, yeah. I do the show internationally. I actually work internationally with brain disorders. My specialty is autism. I myself had sensory integration disorder and was eventually diagnosed as having had Asperger's, but I also, along the road, had various diagnoses until I found this therapy that I use, which is called biofeedback for the brain. And that therapy had changed the landscape of my life. It changed the story for all of my children, and then it began to change the story for everyone I worked with. And I just felt felt like I had to share that, and I wanted to do it in a way that nobody else was doing, in a way that would really reach people that wouldn't normally be reached, because if you're not looking to find these answers, then maybe you're looking to be entertained. And while I entertain you, perhaps I can teach you a few things about brain development and behavior and how to make the world a better place. So that was my motivator. I do it everywhere, all over the world, hands-on helping, performing, speaking, and I've sent you some of the music from the CD for the one-woman show that we're going to listen to.
Okay, we're going to listen to one right now.
Can I set that up?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so this one, I want you to understand this song fully is to know that one of the things common with autistic people and a couple of other disorders like schizophrenia is there's a spinning in circles that happens, and it's become the thing everyone talks about is how these kids spin in circles, and they do other things, of course, but it's one of the things that is the hook or what people talk about. And when I was dealing with working with my son, there was a point in my life where I was going, oh my gosh, he is so special and he is so challenged. And he had come to me from a parent who had locked him in a closet, and he was growling, and they thought he was blind, and they thought he was deaf and uneducatably retarded. And I mean, I was given this package like a Tasmanian devil boy, and that's the kind of warning they gave me. And I looked at him, and I thought about his past, and I thought about my past and my story, and how, you know, in my life it had been a kind of an abusive upbringing, and I'd been challenging. And we sort of melded in that moment, and this song came to me, and this is what I wrote.
Okay, here it is. Crazy to sing.
Spinning in circles and talking to myself. Spinning in
to be. Spinning in circles and talking to myself. Spinning in circles and talking to myself. Spinning in circles and talking to myself. I can't hear you. Spinning in circles and talking to myself. I'm spinning in circles and talking to myself. Spinning in circles and talking to myself. I can't hear you. Crazy, but I'm headed into the same. I'm going crazy.
Powerful.
Thank you. Thank you. That's my theme song for the show.
Okay. And you actually feel like when you're listening to that song, you actually can feel like the person that you're singing about, I mean, it puts you right there inside of their mind almost, you know.
Thank you for saying that, because that was really the intention, is to try and wrap up all those different emotions into this one big song that says this is the journey we're trying to take, but holy cow, I feel like I'm going crazy.
Yeah, I have that happen sometimes with me a little, to some extent. I have multiple sclerosis, so I kind of know what you're talking about. Sometimes it feels like my head's going to explode, you know.
Oh, I know. And with multiple sclerosis, do you find that you deal with depression or unexplained
depression
moments
and,
of anger?
Yeah, depression, anger, fatigue, you know, just those things kind of alternate, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's that kind of constant changing and evolving and developing that I was trying to capture with another one of the songs. It's, you know, how we're all, it doesn't matter who we are today, we're going to be someone different tomorrow. And we're always evolving. And that's true of people who have brain disorders, too. And I don't know if you've come across this, Ralph, but certainly I've come across it as a professional, but as a mom and as a person who also suffered with some of this, is that people just take you for your label and your problem, and they don't see you as evolving, whether it's degenerating or progressing, or they just go, oh, that's who you are, that's your problem, that's what you deal with.
It's your problem, and I'm glad it's not my problem. See you later.
Yeah, something like that. And then it sort of leaves you sitting in your problem instead of recognizing it as a flowing thing that can be a better day tomorrow and a better day later and possibly, you know, better functioning for an entire, in your case, you know, you could have a remission period of a year or a couple of years, and it's better to try to lift yourself up towards those things than feel like you're stuck.
You want to know what the best remission period I ever had?
Yeah, tell me.
It's when my first wife and me divorced. That's been my best remission.
Okay, because of that, I was kind of semi-setting up a different song, but because of that joke you just told, I think we should have our next song be Thing to Thing.
Oh, okay, help me find it.
And I'll tell you why, because people are always asking me for my story. How did I end up in the place that I ended up where I was, you know, having all these kids? And so I usually tell the answer to that and tell a story in song.
Oh, okay. We'll play it right now then, Thing to Thing. Here we go.
I want to be the star in the movie of my life, a blockbuster, a tearjerker, a comedy. It's not because I'm vain or hungry for the fame. Oh, Mitch, it's just because there's so much you could learn from me. You see, I've done everything. Now I'm gonna sing.
Told you that sounded like kind of like a Liza Minnelli song, maybe, or Broadway song.
Well, that was the thing with the show. I tried to create all these different genres, right? I've got one that's kind of a country song and a blues song and a Broadway style, partly to underscore the whole journey, you know, the traveling through all of the different roles and hats that I had to wear as a parent, trying to survive. One minute you're a painter, the next minute you're a stand-up comedian, the next minute you're selling oranges at the subway station, you know what I mean? So I just tried to underscore that. And same with husbands. I mean, I was going through so many husbands. I like to say that I sort of got married like I was following the directions on the shampoo bottle, you know? Marry, rinse, repeat. So
yeah.
It was like, seriously, it was like, because I have all these kids and I really wanted to do a good job for them, and but they were special and they were hard. They were so hard to raise. And the guys would want to be the hero, you know, they're like, "Oh yeah, I'll do it. I can help you out with that. No problem." And they come into the house and they think that a little discipline and they won't be autistic tomorrow, but they are. And then the next day they are. And it's that whole constancy and the absoluteness of the battle. And, you know, basically we gave the men the runs. So I kept marrying them and they kept running. And eventually I just sort of went, okay, this is a job I am going to have to do myself. I'm just going to have to do it myself. And it was tough. It was tough, you know. I eventually got pretty desperate, and I found myself really trying to deal with all the different things. And I've got the kids in school, and I can't get a job in the daytime because the teachers are always needing you. You know, you'd think the teachers would do the job and you could go and get work, but in fact, you have to stay home so you can answer the phone calls that the teachers make so you can run to the school and help them out, and then work at night while your kids really should have had you at home. So it's a very kind of backward situation. I remember once a teacher called me and she goes, "Your 5-year-old son just locked his teacher in the closet. What are we supposed to do with that?" And I'm like, open the door? And that is a lead into another song, if you don't mind. It's called Still Thing to Thing.
Okay, here it goes. Still Thing to Thing. Here it goes.
Some money, a new start. Oh, a job worth enough to remove the fear. But every time I work, my children fall apart. So I quit and move on to the next career. I was chasing jobs and running after money while gaining a myriad of skills, including channeling spirits. I found myself stirred by the sound of Native American music. You know, so I danced naked under a blanket alone in my room. I watched the shadows on the wall as I danced and meditated over candles in search of sanity. Maybe that's why my children didn't bring a lot of friends home during this period, because I was dancing and swaying and praying that Steven Spielberg would spot me dancing naked in the window as he wandered through the suburbs of Ajax, Ontario, Canada. And, you know, offer me fame and fortune. Hey, it could happen. I just wanted to be safe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 kids. Oh, what a mess. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 800 bills to address. Motivating that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 800 deals to finish. I've done everything, just wishing I could sing while performing, going sing to sing to.
That was Louise, Still Thing to Thing. Always one more thing that you can't find in there, huh?
Always one more thing.
It's not one thing, it's another, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And it, you know, I thought it was a fun way to sort of give that feeling of here we go again, here we go again. So thanks for jumping on that.
Yeah. It's pretty.
Yeah, it was
see what you're talking about on your music. It's fun and it's entertaining and also kind of educates at the same time if you listen to it, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, that and then the talking and the sort of putting it all together. But, yeah, the idea is to have a fun journey and tap your toes a little and go out of the theater humming and having the whichever song got in your head that you're humming remind you of the purpose behind it. So it's fun. I mean, I couldn't think of a more enjoyable way for me to teach it. And I also talk about brain science, you know. I talk about how the temporal lobe is affected by abuse. And, I mean, it's a pretty strong show.
I have lesions, MS lesions on my brain stem, which I think is leading to a lot of my problems. I'm sure you're familiar with the term autonomic functions.
Oh, of course.
And, well, being interfered with, I think, by these lesions and... They're giving symptoms and they're treating the symptoms, but they're not going to be able to solve the problem, I don't think.
Well, you know, having lesions on your brainstem is a big deal, but do you know what the term lesion means? You know, when I first started learning about brain science, I would hear the word lesion, and I would think of a lesion in the way that we mean it on the body. But usually when they use the word lesion in the brain, they just mean a part that's not working. You know, if they're seeing scar tissue or if they're seeing a tumor or if they're seeing, then they use different words. Generally, lesion just means this area here isn't firing the way it should. And the therapy that I work with on all the different brain disorders has positive effect on every brain disorder that I apply it to. It also works in peak performance. That's the beauty of it. And it's got no... negative side effects. It's called biofeedback for the brain, and it would probably help you. Now, would it, you know, cure your MS? Yeah, no, probably not. But I'm not saying not, but probably not. But would it make your symptoms and your ability to function, would it improve them by a lot? Yes. Could it get your area on the brainstem working? It's a little hard to work with the brainstem. But because of feedback loops, maybe not the whole lesion, depends on the size of the lesion. But if I was you, I'd really check into it.
Oh, okay. I never had anybody tell me anything like that before. So.
This is why I got so excited to write a show. I started with these kids in the early 80s, and this therapy was invented. It was invented in the early 60s. So by the time my kids were born and were, challenged and diagnosed and all this thing, this therapy should have been an easy choice. And yet it took until my son was 23 and still nonverbal and hurting himself before I found it. That's how hard it is to get access. Well, not so much now to access information on it, but nobody was embracing the idea of not using drugs, but rather teaching the brain to be different. And I want to shout it from the rooftops. It has changed so many lives.
Okay, I just wondered, do you have a website and stuff that people can go to and learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, if you want to know, have me speak or perform or do the show, that's LynetteLouise.com. For information on brain disorders and stuff, there's a link in LynetteLouise.com you can click on, or you can just put in brainbody.net. And that's more about the autism and the way I work internationally, hands-on. Whereas LynetteLouise.com is more about speaking and singing and that sort of thing. And then in addition, by the way, I'm doing this really, really exciting thing right now. So it's important to me to get this information out. And it's important to our whole field of biofeedback or neurofeedback practitioners. And we're always having this question of how do we get the word out? How do we get the word out? And I thought, well, I'm going to do it in an entertaining way so that more people pay attention than would normally, or at least different people. And meanwhile, I was doing this work internationally with all these different people. I mean, I and many of us have these stories that just don't happen when you're dealing in the world of allopathic medicine. So I'm out there and I'm going, somebody has to see this happen. And I decided, well, it makes sense for me to bring cameras with me because this is what I do anyway. I'll put this these two worlds together. So I've started this thing, what I call Fix It in Five. I'm going to do five different families in different locations around the world. I've done an episode already in America. I've done one in Uganda. And right now I'm raising the funds to do the other three, and then I'm going to package it as a mini-series and put it and make it available on the Internet for people so that they can learn how to help themselves, not just with biofeedback, but in many, many ways, how to help themselves and how to help their loved one, but have fun watching. Like, you know, being I'm very fun when I work with people. So this is my new thing, and I'm trying to raise funds for it. It's called Fix It in Five with the Brain Broad, Lynette Louise. But if you Google Fix It in Five, or if you go to Indiegogo, and then inside there it'll say what campaign are you looking for. You go look for Fix It in Five. There I am, and you can find it from my website as well.
Oh, okay. Now, when you're going to different places, how far ahead do you have the schedule, you know, or when you're internationally going out somewhere?
You know, that really depends on whether, you know, how long I'm going to stay. Like, for example, I'm going back to Uganda in September because everyone was so amazed by the changes that happened with this girl that I worked with for free for the show. Next thing I know, I've got six families wanting me to come back, and it's a far trip, and so we planned it then, and I'm just going to do family after family in a row because it's a long time to stay away from home. So in their case, they needed to book it, you know, 4 or 5 months in advance, but sometimes I have a hole in my schedule and someone gets lucky, and then I have families that I see kind of, you know, semi-regularly, so I keep kind of a space for them. It really depends.
Oh, okay. What was the next song you were thinking about?
Well, you know what? We're talking so much about biofeedback for the brain. There's a really nice short one that just is sort of, that's what it's about. So why don't we listen to biofeedback?
Okay, here we go. An Alice Cooper song on stage where he had, you know, when his live concert, he acted out all his music.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded like something that he might have done on stage, you know, where he used to have all these big props and everything around, like a guillotine or something. And he was supposed
Yeah, that sounds like how I do it. I really like being in the company of Alice Cooper. Thank you.
Okay.
That's quite a compliment, I think. I'm not sure. He's really bright, you know. He's a really amazing person.
Yeah,
he's really amazing. You know, and I think what's neat about going with that is that the whole biofeedback thing, and we were talking about your MS and autism, and, you know, I work with schizophrenia and strokes and, you know, all kinds of things. And we're back on that idea of can you change? Are you always changing? Are we moving forward or are we moving backward? I have this theory that brains are meant to be constantly changing and evolving. And if you don't keep them moving forward, they move backward. And so it's really important to be always kind of stretching and reaching and looking towards life. I like to say life comes to me when I come to life. And it's really true. Whenever I decide to brighten up and go ahead and attack something with joy and energy, it changes.
That's one reason I'm doing these radio shows. It keeps my brain active. I've been doing like different music every day and interviews with people like you and different artists, you know. And it keeps my life really interesting when I can't do as much physical things as some people can, you know.
Right, but you get to stay alive and connected and be part of that's beautiful. I mean, that's awesome. Maybe the fact that you can't do all that physical stuff is keeping you in your chair so you can get this done.
Yeah, I can't go hardly go. I can't when I don't do a show. I feel like I lost something, you know.
Yeah,
and I don't get to do a show one day or something happens, you know, like I might have to go to a doctor visit or something. And I can't do my show that day. It makes you feel kind of empty a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I get it. I believe it. And as much as I, you know, I'm talking about joy and attacking life with beauty and verve, and I mean that, but still, there's this whole, I don't know what your story, I don't know if you deal with this, but in the world of special needs children, whether they're Down syndrome, autistic, schizophrenic, bipolar, ADHD, there's and especially in the world of autism, there's a lot of judgment thrown at the parents and at the families. And there's a lot of kids that are really, ironically, stuck in this loop where they want to rewind. You know, they want to rewind tapes and they want to rewind DVDs. And they want to see stuff happen over and over and over again. And I found myself thinking about that and about the way the world kind of attacks and judges and tries to have the answer even though they don't have the answer and sticks us, if we're not going forward and we're not going backward, we're stuck in a loop, rewinding and rewinding. And I wrote this song called Unfinished that I see as sort of like the theme song for autism, where I'm trying to talk about what is it like to be dealing with autism. And in the music video, which they can see on YouTube, it begins with the doctor diagnosing the child and saying he's autistic and that's it. You know, there's not going to be any life for him really to speak of. And I would love to play that now. It's called Unfinished.
Okay, Unfinished. Here we go.
Unfinished me, unfinished you, unfinished soul, unfinished truth, unfinished heart, unfinished brain, unfinished tears, they fall like rain, unfinished eyes, begging to see, a finished world, finally free of unfinished me, unfinished you, unfinished life, unfinished truth. Hurting me, not hurting you, for being lost inside our truth. Unfinished touch, unfinished kiss, unfinished hug, unfinished wish. A finished week. Oh, make it stop. won't set us free. Unfinished wrong and unfinished right, unfinished day.
Lynette Louise.
So what did that one bring to mind?
Oh, that was a hard one. I couldn't think of a person that it reminded me of. It just brought to mind the conditions of what you're never really finished until it's over with, I guess.
Yeah, kind of that state of, you know, if we're going to be in a state of unfinished, let's do it with, you know, love, I guess. Because it's just, you keep going until you're done.
Yeah, there's always something to do, even when you're not doing anything, I guess.
Yeah, isn't that?
Found that to be true. You ever think you're going to have a quiet, when you think you're going to have a quiet day, that's when you have the busiest day of all, it seems, you know.
Oh, isn't that the truth? When I had the kids, when the kids were young, the only way I could have a quiet day was I had this 9-seater station wagon, and I would go, okay, everybody, in the station wagon. All right, seatbelts on. I'll be right back. They're just going to the house. I'm like, do. I think I'll clean up. You know, I'll brush my hair, go up the stairs, sing a song, keep sticking my head out the door, going, I'll be right out, guys. It was like the only way to get it, just even a moment's peace. It was crazy. But it never ended. I kept saying to the kids, it's going to be calm after this. I won't work so hard. And then they grew up, and then there were grandkids, and now I travel all over the world, and now I'm trying to change, bring all of this to millions of kids, actually. And at present, I have over 1,000 kids that I work with. So it's like, yeah, I guess I'm always going to wish I had a great big huge station wagon to stick everybody in and get a moment's quiet. But it's a beautiful life. I'm a very blessed person.
Okay, so how long have you been going around the world? When did you start doing your, international help to people?
Yeah, I really started doing it in a very official way, in where I combined all these things. Because before that, I was always helping, and there was always somebody saying, hey, how are you getting your son to do this? Can you help me? And that evolved. It's hard to pinpoint exactly when that began, except when I think, okay, when did I bring all the therapies together and create the package I have now? And that's about 9 years ago. So it's really evolved in a beautiful way to where I know when I walk in a home, I can meet almost any challenge, and I can figure out in 3 days. I give myself 5 days in the show because of cameras causing change. They cause an effect just by being there. But in 3 days, I can walk into a home and I can go, okay, let's get this one doing neurofeedback. Let's look, how's the brain? Oh, how are they, helping each other, or how are they hurting each other? How are they reinforcing problems? And in 3 days, I can walk out and have made a difference. It's really amazing. Even now, today, to me, every time I do it, I go, oh my gosh, this is so doable. Things like depression just are simple and easy with this therapy. And so it makes it heart-wrenching for me to see people so addicted to drugs and things when they should be given this alternative first.
Do you see a lot of people, like the families, they've been in the situation so long, they've kind of just given up and just said, there's nothing we can do, they're just here, we're not going to try to do anything for them.
Yeah, they're told to give up, though. They're told, not to embrace what's called false hope, which to me is like an oxymoron, because hope implies the wish that something will get better. It cannot be false. It's just a wish. How can that be false? How can you have a false wish? You know, but they're told this all the time. And so they're like, no, 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 there's the child won't get better. They won't get better. And it's really a crime, because the more that you believe that, then the more that you respond accordingly and reinforce accordingly. And the more that all the therapies that are created respond accordingly and reinforce accordingly. And the next thing you know, you're just giving kids a few skills and training them as opposed to helping them to evolve as human beings. And it's quite unfortunate. And to me, it's malpractice. But what can you do? You just do your best to make a difference and spread the word. That's, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe we can help. Maybe the show will help a little bit, I hope.
I hope so, too, because there was a point, you know, I remember there was a point I was so desperate. I was doing all these different things trying to help my kids, and nobody was offering me this kind of knowledge. And I was, like, right on the doorstep of just giving up and killing myself and being done with it. And, you know, somebody else pick up these pieces. And I got lucky that maybe it's my own determination, but I found in the darkness, I found the strength and moved forward and then found these things that I now share with the world. I'd love you to play the song Light, because it embraces that moment. Now, this was done live, so it's a little pitchy, but it's a beautiful song.
Okay, here we go. Let's play Light.
A flicker in the sun, one in a million. What can I become? I live in the dark of night, but it's light that gets to glow.
Okay, would you like me to tell you what that one reminded me of?
Yes, tell me.
Kind of sound like it could have been in The Wizard of Oz, kind of like a Somewhere Over the Rainbow type song.
Oh,
you know?
Wow. Now I've been Liza, I've been Judy, I've been Alice Cooper. It's working. I got a lot of different genres going, and we don't even have time to do all of them, but that's neat. Well, that's a compliment. Thank you. I love that song, actually. It's kind of naked and real, and it just makes you feel when you sing it. So I love it. So I think it's very Somewhere Over the Rainbowish too.
Yeah, kind of gives you that timeless feel of something, you know. Doesn't really,
yeah.
Not really going to go out of style the way you sang it. It's really just, you know, the simpleness of it, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too.
And I listen to a lot of music, believe me. Every week, I probably hear over 500 songs a week of total, listening to them, putting them on the show, about 15, 20 live songs, new songs a day on here. And nobody, I play independent artists that nobody's ever heard before, so a lot of it, you know, you got yourself right in there with a lot of them, and put it to you that way.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. It's fun that you're willing to let me show you all these different bits and pieces. We're almost talking it through as if it's the show. We're not. You know, I'm certainly not doing my shtick, but it does give me a new avenue to share with, and I really, really appreciate that. We're kind of making a semi one woman show here with you along for the ride.
Yeah. Maybe you should get your own Blog Talk Radio station, and then you could do a show every time you wanted to.
Yeah, I probably. Well, I've got a talk show that I do.
Okay, where's that at?
It's on WebTalkNet.
TalkNet?
WebRadio.net.
WebRadio.net?
But if you
that's probably
kind of
like
yeah,
Blog Talk, I guess.
Yeah, it's very similar, only I talk on it. I don't use the music too often, although I occasionally do. I know we don't have a lot of time, and I'd really like to sort of get to this. The very last one that I wanted to play is, you can play it as we go out, but I'd like to play this one song before we're done. It's called Biofeedback. I'm sorry. It's called Brainiac, and the reason I want to play this one is because basically I sing it as the two parts of, you know, the person who's miserable and then the therapist that I became. Because, of course, when I first learned about this therapy, I was treating myself, too. And it took time before I was completely 100% blended and healthy. And this song is about that piece of the journey where half the time I'm miserable and the other half of the time I'm going, look, I'm a brainiac, I can fix you. And I sing to myself as if it's two different people. I love to play that. I think it's a nice way to bring
them. Oh, okay, here we go, Brainiac.
On a mountain, alone and so afraid. I stand on a mountain I made, a mountain of make-believe, a mountain of lies and of deceit, a mountain that's built on pain. From sadness I came, a mountain of shame. You're a maniac, well I'm a brainiac, I'll fix your brain. Come to me and you will never ever feel the same. Cause you're a maniac and I'm a brainiac, I'll fix your brain. When you tell me things you'll never ever be the same. I cry to the ocean, I cry to the ocean I made, an ocean of spit and tears, an ocean of angry, angry fears, an ocean that's filled by rain, making sadness and pain. An ocean of I'm a brainiac, I'll fix your brain. With help from me, you'll never ever be the same. Cause you're a maniac, and I'm a brainiac, I'll fix your brain. Once I gain your mind, you'll never ever be the same. Thank you.
Brainiac, Lynette Louise. I'd say Alice Cooper again.
Okay, that's two for Alice.
Yeah, two for Alice. He won. The way the I think it's the piano in there. It's kind of frantic, you know.
Yeah.
Fourth,
yeah.
That what gives me the idea. If you listen to some Alice Cooper music, he has that kind of frantic pace to some of it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I love the comparison, actually. It's good company. That was very good company to me in Alice Cooper. That's all good. Thank you. And it is very dramatic. I mean, it is music from a show, right? So it's very dramatic. And I've got lights and I've got costumes. And I, you know, it's all very fun and exciting to do. And half my face is one thing and the other half is another. And when I have the money that we can do that, you know, sometimes we're also putting it together because I travel this show. I can't always command the kind of budget that means that we bring all of that stuff. So it goes from the top end to the, oh, you want me and the piano player. And, you know, if we can put it together and I'm getting paid and he's getting paid, or if it's a fundraiser and it's going and it's in April, because every April I give away my time for free for fundraisers to the cause of autism. So I often work a lot on stage at that time. People are going, wait for April. She'll do it for free. So, you know, and some people don't have a lot of budget or ability because I have them cover the expenses. So I sometimes it's got a chair and a block of wood and a piano and just me and hopefully a light. And other times it's a big extravaganza. So it's really neat, this world we live in, this performance world where, you know, you can have a sold-out house 1 minute and you can have six people in the audience the next because they forgot to advertise. And it's just, I don't know, it keeps you humble and it keeps you aware that you never know what's around the next corner. I really like it.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of like the radio station. One day I'll have a lot of listeners and the next day I'll be doing the same thing from one day to the next and I'll have a lot more listeners one day than the next. I don't know, I have never figured that out yet.
I think they say that all businesses are like that because people travel in herds. We're herd animals, we're pack animals. And so if you watch at the grocery store, like there's nobody, the tellers are all going, yeah, da-da-da-da. And the next thing you know, one person goes to a teller and everybody goes, oh, we better get to the teller now. Oh, come on, everybody, line up. It's time for the teller. You know, it's a great big huge lineup. And we just follow the stimulus. And then it clears and starts again. And I think we always do that.
Kind of like going to an amusement park. Everybody's in line for a roller coaster. That's
exactly.
We're on a roller coaster all the time. It seems like up, down, all around.
You know? Up, down. You never know what's coming next. And I think you either embrace that, throw your hands up in the air like on the roller coaster, scream and say, life is great, or you bemoan it the whole time and worry about going, climbing up to the top. You know, it's like it's one choice or the other. I think it was Einstein. Yeah, it was Einstein. He said, there's two ways to approach life. I love this quote. There's two ways to approach life. You can approach it as if nothing is a miracle or everything is a miracle.
Never heard that one before. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. I agree.
Okay, we got about 3 minutes according to my clock here. Have you got anything you want to say at the very last?
I would just love to say that, you know, life's worth embracing, and that includes anybody with a disorder. And don't set them aside, make them separate and isolate them. Just let's go out there and play. And please check out the Indiegogo site for Fix It in 5, because I really want to change the way people are treated in the world and bring this to people for free. And you could play out on the song Child to Child. It's short, and it's a goodbye song.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Let me get to it. All right, here we go, Child to Child.
Child to child to child, fill the world with style. Happiness gone wild, healing. Child to child to child.
You know, healing our world by healing autism, come on, not really such an outrageous idea. I already know autism's a healing gift, because it led me to heal. And it made me rich, with children. at the end of this song, do me a favor.
Push repeat.
Going song to song to song. Thing to thing to thing. Go out and do every single thing. Join me learning how to swing. Going thing to thing to thing. Thank you so much for listening.
Okay, that was Child to Child. We got about a minute left, I think.
All right. Well, my website is LynetteLouise.com. The brain site is brainbody.net. And I really think it's very important that you go to those, check it out, and find out how totally awesome all these projects are.
Okay. It's been fun having you on the show. It's a lot of laughs. We usually don't get that many laughs in one interview with me.
Oh, good. It was fun that you had me. I really, really appreciated it, Ralph. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, if you ever have anything else you're doing that you want, you know, to get out there, maybe I can help you again.
All right. That'd be great. Or we could always come back and do one of my other CDs, and I'm in the middle of making a third. So there you go.
Okay. That'd be great.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye.
Break the chain of abuse against me and